Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening and welcome to this Charlton Live miniature Easter special. My name is Louis Mendes. Thanks for downloading. I hope you are well. On this week's show, we'll take a look back at the Good Friday clash with Morecambe at the Valley. It's just a slimmed down version of the pod this weekend as the team take a rest over Easter. But on today's show, we will hear the highlights of the game with the Shrimps, post-match reaction from manager Johnny Jackson. We'll also hear from some supporters I spoke to in the fans bar after the game. So the Addicts went into the Good Friday clash with Morecambe on the back of last week's impressive 1-0 win over Rotherham, and having just lost once in their last six, they were playing for pride though, knowing that they mathematically couldn't go up or down. A different story for Derek Adams' side though. The Shrimps, they ended a recent 12-game winless run with two successive victories, but a slender loss last time out at Cambridge saw the Lancastrians perch just outside the League One drop zone on goal difference with four games left to play. Johnny Jackson made just one change from the side that won at Rotherham last weekend as Mason Burstow started up top in place of Connor Washington. There was a place though for Chuck Sinike on the bench, who has missed the last 2 months through injury. So let's have a listen to what happened at the Valley. Your commentators on Charlton TV were Greg Stubley and Terry Phillips.
It's allowed to turn by the Charlton defence outright towards Lee. It's an awkward control, but Lee takes it in his stride and cuts inside and goes outright to Connolly. Lee continues his running. He's not been tracked. Lee inside the penalty area. Across. Stockton scores. Morecambe have been flirting with opportunities in the last 5 minutes or so. And it's the top goal scorer in the league who gives them the lead after 25 minutes.
You could see that happening through the build-up. The ball's switched out here on the right hand to Connolly by Lee, who cut inside. Blackett Taylor followed him inside, but as soon as the pass went away from Lee out to Connolly, Blackett Taylor didn't track him, or at least couldn't keep up with him. And Connolly, free ball into Lee, who cut it back to Stockton. You can't give the leading goal scorer in the division that time and space to finish.
Stockton makes movement inside the pound here and controls. Stockton lays it off for Lee. Dobson with the challenge. So we'll try and get there, but Bennett with the first time cross inside the pound area. Pierce with a header away, but only as far as Nahue. Nahue finds a spot and manages to get the second. The header away from Pierce was only as far as the left winger. He cut inside in his left foot. It's a tidy finish. And Morecambe have a second.
The loop ball into the box looked like it wasn't troubling anybody. And just for a second there, I thought Craig McGillivray would be coming out to claim it, but didn't really have the depth, I guess, for him to be confident enough to come and claim it. And as soon as it dropped to Nahua, there looked to be panic in the back. That launched ball forward by Bennett. Yes, right on the penalty spot, and you just thought that McGillivray would come and claim it. He didn't, and then Nahua just made space for himself, and the right foot shot back across. Craig McGillivray gave him no chance.
Towards the Charlton left hand side now, as Blackett Taylor receives the ball. Nice couple of step overs and brings the ball forward. Still with it, Blackett Taylor with the cross towards Burstow with the header towards Stockley. And Charlton have a goal back. Really good patient build up play from Charlton out to the left hand side to Blackett Taylor. Superb skill to create that little bit of space with the cross. Burstow wins the header, and Stockley, his long leg to convert. Charlton have a goal back.
Intelligent football from Charlton. Ball out to the left-hand side. Blackett Taylor, you get the feeling if we're going to get something, it's going to be on this left-hand side. He cuts in superbly well, then drifts past his man once more into the box. Lovely chip ball back across. Burstow could have gone for it himself. Spotted Stockley in space, just headed it into that space. For the Charlton striker to finish.
Phillips, again. Phillips, a diagonal ball in the penalty area. McGilvery comes out to collect, and it's good goalkeeping to do so. And rolls it out, and it's a dangerous throw. And Matthews won't get there, and Gibson does. Nahua now from Morecambe inside the penalty area. Onto his left foot, goes for goal and scores. And after the Charlton pressure, the Charlton goal, just as the Addicts were getting back in the game. as Morecambe has scored a third. The kill for his throw was intercepted by Gibson. Nahua, who got the second for Morecambe, gets the third.
Well, I was just about to say that the defending in the build-up to that was much, much better for Charlton. There was a lot more communication, not more people tracking back, doing what they're supposed to do. And then McGillivray inexplicably throws it into space. And easily picked off by Gibson. And Charlton, from being, again, in the opening part of this half, in the ascendancy, have ended up conceding a third. That, just shooting ourselves in the foot there in support, and Dobson in space inside. Dobson switches it across to Fanwark. Forster Caskey further left. Blackett Taylor out on the touchline, again up against Connolly. Again tries to go past him, and again does so into the penalty area. But Blackett Taylor, ball back across, and he comes in the header! Scores! Charlton back in the game, and Anike back on the score sheet.
Well, once again, anything Charlton has created has come through Corey Blackett Taylor. It's been outstanding on that left hand side. It's caused Morecambe a number of problems. They've made the substitution, Morecambe having to bring off Gibson, the left back. They put the substitute Cooney over that side. He's been struggling to deal with him. The ball comes from Forster Caskey out to Blackett Taylor. It's a superbly well. It's Connolly, maybe a little bit easily from a Morecambe perspective, but then does ever so well to dig out the cross. And Anike, that's an outstanding header. That's not an easy chance at all. And he places it perfectly. And Charlton, again with a lifeline back in this game.
Player sends it forward, looking for Stockley, and he's played no added time at all, virtually, the referee, to the 5 minutes. And the Axe go down 3-2 here to Morecambe.
So it was Morecambe who took a massive stride towards League One safety with victory on their first ever visit to the Valley. The Addicts started brightly but passed up a number of opportunities before the visitors grew back into the game and led through League One's leading goalscorer Cole Stockton on 26 minutes. The Addicts' vulnerabilities at the back were further exposed just before the break when Jason Pearce's header dropped straight to Arthur Ganua, who added a second for the visitors. Jaden Stockley did pull one back shortly after half-time as he grabbed his 19th goal of the season in all competitions, but hopes of a comeback were stalled just 6 minutes later as the Addicts' goalkeeper Craig McGovern saw his throw out intercepted, which led to Ganua grabbing his second of the game. Chuksunike came off the bench to half the deficit once more with 9 minutes left to play, and despite George Dobson missing a good chance to level late on, the Addicts slipped to a 20th league defeat of the season. Charlton dropped to 15th in the League One table, whilst Morecambe climbed one place to 19th. They sit 3 points clear of the drop zone now. Afterwards, manager Johnny Jackson came to speak to me in the press room, and I kicked off the interview by asking if he'd been let down by his side defending during the game.
I'm disappointed with the goals, yeah. I thought, you know, it was really poor goals to concede. All three of them avoidable for me. Got to deal with those situations better. So, yeah, after... You're right, you know, we stand there after last week and say how solid it was and stuff like that. You know, you have to say today, we didn't do that today. And it was in those moments we was too slack, and I guess that probably sums up why we are where we are in the league, because can't do it consistently.
I was going to say, if we could put our fingers on why that they were so inconsistent throughout the season, I guess that would suggest why we are where we are in the division, and today we'll probably personify that pretty well.
Yeah, you know, if you want to be a top player and you want to be at the top end of the division, you have to do it every single week. It's not a choice. You can't just turn up, do it 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. The top teams, they churn out the performances and the results week in, week out. So we are capable of a really, really high level, but we haven't been able to sustain it enough this season.
And it sort of ruined what had been quite a bright start, really, obviously, without finding the goal. But Charlton pretty much on the front foot for the majority of that first 25 minutes or so.
Yeah, I feel like I said that a lot in games, that we started brightly, moving it really well, creating openings, but nothing to show for it, which is disappointing. And then, you know, you get hit with probably their maybe second chance and they score. It changes the complexion of the game and... So we had nothing to show for our bright start, and obviously going in 2-0 down, when there's probably nothing in the game as far as dominance and stuff like that. We're 2-0 down now. We're chasing and probably dominated 90% of the second half as well. still lost the game. So for all your dominance, you know, you've nothing to show for it.
And just when you got one back and looked like you were coming back into the game, you know, again, we spoke about how Craig's sort of turned the corner recently. He'll be really disappointed. You could see he was trying to get the team on the move quickly, but just didn't quite measure it right.
Yeah, he's trying to be proactive and get the attack started, but obviously, you know, the execution of the throw was wrong. And it's a poor goal to concede. It's a really disappointing one as far as how it's come about and the timing of it, because we, like you say, we scored early, loads of time now to go on and hopefully try and win the game and not just back again when it was so unnecessary in the game at that stage. And obviously that's the goal that's ultimately cost us defeat.
So the crowd have made their feelings known at half-time and a little bit at the end as well. It has summed up how frustrating this season has been. You know, you had a very good spell in the middle, but the overall season for the club has not been anywhere near what they would have expected.
No, of course not. It's disappointing. I get it. None of us are where we want to be. You know, even if we win every game, it's still not going to be like where Charlton should be finishing in the league, is it? So I get their frustration. I'm as frustrated as anyone. You know, it's almost like, you know, we got to try and win these three games, and then it's a reset for the football club, and it's a huge summer that we have to get right, because I think there's a real core of something good, something that we can, you know, if we had the right types in the right positions and around the court, I think we've got a great opportunity. But obviously that's not going to happen this season. We need a reset and we need to go again.
Especially Chuck's back on the pitch. How was he after that sort of cameo?
Yeah, fine, I believe. It's good to have him back. Had a couple of days training, so always was keen to get him on the pitch, but obviously wary of how long. But that'll do him great getting on there and obviously scoring a goal. We know what a threat he can be, especially having the impact from the bench. So good to have him back. Obviously we missed that type of impact from the bench.
Yeah, Connor didn't start. Obviously, Mason started in his place, is right. You were sort of managing his minutes. Is he worried about his hamstring again or something?
It's just he missed the early part of the week's training. So obviously he's come back, played every minute of every game. I don't want to lose Connor for any longer period of football. So decided to sort of take that route with him. Obviously with three games to play now, it gives him more opportunity to be involved for those.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, you have the ability to have those three strikers on the pitch. You change the shape a little bit there as you were chasing the game as well. Is that something you sort of experimenting with, or something you've tried in training? You wanted to see how it played out on the pitch.
It's just something that I had in mind, that if we needed to chase, that's the way that we could go. Putting Chucks on there into sort of in the 10 position with two forwards off of him, I think he's as effective as anyone. Yeah, obviously, it did work in that period of the game. Something to consider when we've got Chuck sort of up to speed and he's able to play for longer.
And no Scott Fraser today, and for a little while actually now. What's up with Scott?
He's got a little issue with his knee. I don't know the medical terminology, but yeah, he's had an issue with his knee that obviously he's been playing him up a little bit, been a bit sore. So unavailable for the last couple of games. Hopefully we'll see him for the last few.
It's a quick turnaround now to Cambridge. Obviously, I mean, with all these games being dead rubbers now, I don't think, as we said last week, they're not on the beach. They gave their best today, but it's important to try and end the season in a reasonably positive manner.
Yeah, I wouldn't label that criticism at my team, especially. I think we had a little period in the first half where we had a little lull and there was a lack of urgency to our play. But I think in the second half we'll give it a real go. So, you know, I don't think that's an issue. You know, at the end there we're absolutely bombarding them to try and get something, and it wasn't through lack of effort. A few better decisions maybe, or execution of certain situations, and we would have got something from the game, definitely. You know, I know we've had a lot of attempts, a lot of crosses, probably just not enough on target, and they was probably more clinical than us in their moments.
Cheers.
Hi Johnny, so you mentioned, you know, we've got a big summer ahead, a lot of rebuilding of course, and a bit of pressure. Is defensive position in particular you're going to try and bolster with some added quality?
I think every position's something that we consider, but I think, you know, if you want to get promoted, you need probably 20-25 clean sheets, and you can't be conceding three goals at home, can you? So it's going to make it difficult to win any football match. So it's obviously something that we're looking at along with every other position.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, it's
yes!
Oh, he's got oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty!
Woo! Dreamland!
Cullen has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom! Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live. Welcome back to this Charlton Live mini-pod. We've been looking back at the defeat against Morecambe at the Valley on Good Friday. We've just heard the manager's view on the game. Now let's hear the opinion of some of the supporters who watched at the Valley. I spoke to a couple of the fans in the fans bar after the game.
It was very disappointing. I think, you know, we were playing a team that's under pressure. They're in the relegation fight. They, in the last six games, have let in the most goals out of any League One team. So they're for the taking. I think they played pretty average and just showed really what all the things that have been wrong with our season. Inability to create chances when we're in good positions down the flanks, a lack of spirit and character in the squad, and just really, again, underlined that we have got what's required in this squad to have a proper promotion push next season.
Very disappointing, especially against Morecambe. I felt that we should have beaten them, considering who we are. No disrespect to Morecambe, but we should be beating them if we've got to get up and get up to Championship.
But clearly, we stopped them up front. They had a threat. I think we've seen in the first 20 minutes, we got behind them and we had the opportunity to create several chances, but we didn't really create any clear-cut chances. And then in the next 15 minutes, he got two or three chances by just dropping away from his marker. He managed to drop his marker several times, and just think all over the park, we just weren't good enough.
Disgraceful. We were 2-1 down, a ball out from the goalkeeper, straight to Morecambe attack, and they score from it. Made it a 3-1, made it very difficult for us, and not good enough.
First of all, he overpromised and underdelivered. He definitely underestimated the league. I think the fact that he's overpromised and underdelivered, I think, is going to affect the season ticket sales. And frankly, he's got his son in charge or in a very senior role doing analytics, which I can't see how he could possibly get that role at any other League One club. He's unproven. If we sign 8 or 10 players on multi-year contracts and we get it wrong this season, even if Jacko doesn't make it as the manager, you know, we hope he does, we all support him, we're going to be screwed because we're going to be stuck with those 10 players on multi-year contracts. So this next pre-season, this summer, is going to be massive. And yeah, it's worrying.
I think the owner and the manager have actually I think they've actually don't realise the quality of this division. We we're just not good enough. The players which actually come into this club have not been good enough.
And are you confident they can get that right this summer instead?
Well, we're all hopeful. We're all hopeful. But we have to wait and see. But being a Charlton fan, and I always renew my season ticket, always the optimist.
Well, thanks to Rob and to John for giving me their thoughts on the Morecambe game. Attention now turns to Tuesday's trip to Cambridge United. The Addicts looking for back-to-back away wins and to end the season strongly. Cambridge sit one place above the South Londoners in 14th. They've lost just once in their last four at time of recording, but they still have to play the league leaders Wigan on Saturday before the Addicts visit the Abbey Stadium. Mark Bonner's side will be happy to have secured survival already during their first season at this level in over 20 years. It's Charlton's first visit to the Abbey Stadium since 1992, and the best part of 1,000 Addicts will be in attendance to watch on. We'll have reaction to that game and a preview of next Saturday's home game with Shrewsbury on Thursday's big match preview. But for now, thanks for listening to this mini Charlton Live pod from me, Louis Mendez. We'll see you again during the week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.